right. Going back to the battle. Beginning today and going through up until the holidays, I really want us to focus on what is our mission? What is our mission? When Christ gave his great commission to us, let there be no question that he is to be understood when he commissioned us as giving us a military type mission. So on D-Day, back at 1944, the mission was to take and hold the beaches in Normandy. That was that mission. In the story of Saving Private Ryan, the mission was a man. Find him, secure him, get him home. Here's the mission. Now get it done. And in that story of Saving Private Ryan, as the soldiers are trudging through the French countryside, some of the soldiers begin to question the wisdom of the mission, risking the lives of 8 in order to save 1. And one of them quotes Tennyson's epic poem, The Charge of the Light Brigade, where we find the famous line, "Theirs is not to make reply, theirs is not to reason why, theirs is but to do and die." That's hardly the inspiration soldiers who are miles behind enemy lines are looking for. But how do you make it? How do you make it through? And how do you avoid disaster? And how do you accomplish and complete the mission, a difficult mission, costly mission? A mission like Christ has given us, because it is difficult and it is costly. Our days are no different. The days in which we live are no different than those of the early church. Seemingly few in number, surrounded on all sides by a hostile and dangerous enemy. And Jesus clearly reads the situation. Behold, he says in Matthew 10:16a, the verse part of that verse, as he's sending out the 12 disciples on their first mission, "I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Jesus understands where he's sending us. Jesus knows exactly what our situation is. But here is the mission. And if we are truly to be his disciples, then ours is not to reason why, but to get it done. So come with me to the first few verses of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, where he gives us the mission. "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up into heaven, after he, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen." Given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. "To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you have heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, 'Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Let's pray together. Lord, there's the mission. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the remotest part of the earth. I guess from Judea, Florida would be pretty close to the remotest part of the earth. But there's so many places, Father, still, who've never heard the name of Jesus. And Father, as we've been in Vacation Bible School these last few weeks, Lord, I'm reminded that the remotest part of the earth is just outside these doors. There are kids who've never heard anything about Jesus, about you. And they're excited to learn it. And they're telling their parents about it. And their parents are bringing them back every week. And we're blessed. Father, I'm grateful that we've got so many volunteers on these Wednesday nights during VBS who are showing the love of Jesus, not just telling them about it. So, Lord, there's the mission. The remotest part of the earth is just outside those doors. Thank you, Father, for giving us the power to get it done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In these opening verses of Acts, the first thing Jesus does here is he removes any doubts in the minds of those that he's sending out on the mission. The risen Savior shows them many convincing proofs. Proofs of his resurrection. Proofs of his divinity. Proofs of the truth of the gospel over a period of 40 days. And he continued to speak to them and to teach them and to coach them up, getting them mentally ready for what lay ahead. But mental, physical, emotional preparation is not enough to be able to accomplish the mission of Christ. John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When General Eisenhower was sending the troops on the mission to take the beaches at Normandy, he made sure that they had all the resources, all the military power that they would need to be successful. Jesus, too, is sending us out against a very, very dangerous enemy, a spiritual enemy. So he knows that we need to be equipped with all of the spiritual power we need to be successful. The Word of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, tells us plainly, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So Christ equips us with the most powerful, with the Holy Spirit, the greatest of all the spiritual powers, so that no matter what power we might face, we have a power that is greater. We have a power that can overcome any obstacle or foe, that can enable us then to kick down the very gates of hell. This is the power that you and I have been given by Christ Himself. Here is the mission, and here are the tools to accomplish all that lies before us. But if that's true, and it is, then why? Why has the battle been such a struggle? First of all, never underestimate the enemy on the other side. Never underestimate the adversary. He is like a ravaging lion, raging about seeing who he may destroy. But there's a problem on our side. Too often, we struggle mightily due to a lack of communication with our headquarters. Earlier, I mentioned Tennyson's poem, The Charge of the Light Brigade. The poem describes a real event during the Crimean War between England and Russia in 1854. At the Battle of Balaclava, the commander of the British Army gave orders for the Light Brigade, 600 men with swords and lances on horseback, to move around the side to prevent the Russians from retreating with some captured cannons, something that the Light Brigade was well suited to do. But there was a miscommunication in the chain of command. And the 600 men on horseback, armed with swords, went charging headlong into the center of the Russian line so that they were being hit with cannon and rifle fire on three sides. It was a massacre. The Light Brigade lost a third of all their men, all because of a simple miscommunication between their headquarters and those who were sent out to accomplish the mission. They got the mission wrong. In another war, in another place, another time, one day Kathy was not home. I got to watch a documentary on the Civil War. I have to wait till she's out. Are you watching that again? You know who won. I know. They were doing a documentary on the Battle of Gettysburg. And they were interviewing a professor at the U.S. Army War College. And they said, you know, Robert E. Lee came so close to winning that battle. What modern weapon would he have needed to have won the battle? And without hesitation, the guy said, a walkie-talkie. Because a lack of communication with his forces around the battlefield cost Lee the battle. A lack of communication. Balaclava and the Light Brigade, Robert E. Lee and Gettysburg, the Lost Battalion in World War I, all failed in their battles simply due to a lack of communication. And history is littered with such stories. So how do we on our mission not suffer the same fate? Because for us, brothers and sisters, failure is not an option. We cannot fail. Come with me to the book of Psalms, Psalms 34. Psalms 34, verses 4, 15, and 17. Psalm 34, verses 4, 15, and 17. A psalm of David. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Unlike the Light Brigade and all the rest, you and I have direct access to our commander. Isn't that awesome? I sought the Lord, and he answered me. When we don't know what to do, when we don't know where to go, when we just don't know, we can go to the one who hears and who sees. We can go to the one who is able to deliver us from all of our fears and all of our troubles. We can go to the one who directs our paths, who opens our eyes, and gives us vision. We can go to the one who is the giver of all the power we need. Over a few pages in Psalm 55, verses 16 through the first part of verse 19. Again, David writes, "As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. For there are many who strive with me. God will hear and answer them." There are many who strive with me, with us, who battle against us. And God will hear and answer their challenge for us. We're not able on our own. On our own, we can do nothing. But we can cry out to God morning, noon, and night. Our God is available 24/7. Never once when you pray do you ever hear on the other end, "Can you hold, please?" Our God is there for us. Evening, morning, and at noon, he is there for us. No matter when the adversary strikes, our God comes to our defense. While attempts were being made on Paul's life, as the Jews were trying to kill him, he writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 17 that we are to rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Stay in constant contact with the one who gives us our mission. And we shall never go in the wrong direction. We shall never follow the wrong message. We will never wind up weak and powerless and lost as long as we stay in constant contact with our headquarters, with our Father in heaven, who gives us wisdom, vision, direction, and power. Finally, turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 19 through 23. To accomplish our goal, we've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews, I became a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law. Though not being myself under the law, so that I may win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law. To those who are being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I may win those who are without any law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." Back before COVID, if you can remember that far back, when we were talking about the changes that we needed to see here at Sweetwater to get us growing and growing in the right direction, I loved hearing Nick Elkins and the leadership team say that they were committed to do whatever it takes. Bingo. Yes, that is exactly the right spirit that Christ requires of all of us to accomplish the mission that's both worldwide and right here. Whatever it takes. Paul said to the Jews that he would be a Jew. To those not under the Jewish law, that he would be like them. To those who are weak, he would be weak. "I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." realistic, not going to save all of them, but maybe I could save some. Paul is telling us that the only way to accomplish the mission that God has given us is for us to be willing to do whatever it takes, all in the name of Christ. In the late 1800s, the British missionary societies were doing a wonderful job of sending missionaries all over the world, especially deep in the heart of the African continent. One such society shared a letter from its missionary at a monthly meeting. The letter told of great success in advancing the kingdom of God. The letter said that in every village and town that the missionary went, many were led to Christ and churches were started and quickly thriving. But he said the area is so vast, more missionaries are needed. Could the society members themselves come to Africa to help? Could money be found to send new missionaries by the end of the year? Well, the society wrote back, saying that they were delighted to hear of the missionary's success. But unfortunately, they would not be able to come until better roads were cut, better food and accommodations were provided, and the climate not so hot. Nor were they particularly optimistic about providing greater funds for new missionaries in the foreseeable future. To which their missionary replied, "The Lord is at work here. If you could just give me 10 who would come without roads, without accommodations, no matter what the weather might be, the world would see this nation change. Give me 100, he said, and we would win the continent for Christ." But no. Understand the mission. Knowing God will give you all the power and all the resources you need. Stay in constant communication with the Father through prayer all during the mission, and you'll never go wrong. You'll never be shorthanded. You'll never be without, and you will have all the power you need to accomplish whatever you need. Have it in your heart and your mind to be willing to do whatever it takes to see the mission through. And we will see communities change, towns and villages change. Not because we finally got people to get their politics right. Not because we finally got people argued to see things our way. We will see communities change, towns change, villages change, nations change, because God has given us this mission, and we cannot fail. And we do it not for ourselves, but to His glory, and nothing else, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, school is starting. There are a lot of Christians who teach in our public schools, and they need your power. They need your direction. They need to stay in constant contact with you because you are bringing the world to them. Kids and their families who are lost and hurting. And so often it's the teacher who's the only one who knows. Colleges are about to start up. And there are Christians who are professors and students. And they need to stay in constant communication with you. in order to know how to speak and how to act, where to step, because surely professors walk a very narrow line. But they do so with your power, and they do so with your strength and your blessing. And just in our day-to-day life, Lord, at every turn, everywhere we go, we meet people who are hurting, victims of the adversary. We meet people who are hopeless, for the adversary has taken everything from them. They say they're dealing with emotional problems. They're dealing with spiritual problems, Lord. They just don't know it. Father, the battle has already begun, and we've got to get ready. You've given us a mission, and failure is not an option. And you say, why us? I don't want to go. We signed on when we said yes to Jesus, when we agreed to pick up our cross and follow him everywhere he would lead. Surely, Father, those original 12 disciples are no more capable on their own than anybody here. And they learned the hard way, too. And on their own, they can do nothing. But, Father, with you, they can do all things. So, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the name of Jesus and all the power that that brings. So, Father, we thank you for all that you are doing with us and through us. We are excited for this mission. And, Lord, I believe that every senior adult and every child, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl here has a part to play and seeing this community change for Christ, and to see ourselves change even more. Thank you, Lord. Be with us, Father. In Christ's name.